He looks determined without being ruthless. Something heroic in his manner. There's a courage about him. Doesn't look like a killer. Comes across so calm. Acts like he has a dream. Full of passion.
You don't trust me, huh?
Well, you know why.
I do. We're not supposed to trust anyone in our profession anyway.
Peace, 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 and welcome to The Rematch, which is part of the BasketballNews.com podcast network. On The Rematch, you'll hear in-depth interviews with notable names from all walks of life. Because sometimes the media just doesn't get it right. The Rematch is that second opportunity to clarify, put things in proper context, correct fake news or misreported controversy. The media still exists as the most powerful entity on earth because they control the minds of the masses. I'm Matan Thomas, and the full truth is what we are aiming to catch. Many media stories omit details that would dilute their clickbait roar, and that's why there's a need for The Rematch. On this special voting edition of The Rematch, we had a panel discussion with GM of the Washington Wizards, Tommy Shepard, my former teammate with the Washington Wizards, Roger Mason Jr., assistant coach of Duke University, Nolan Smith, former NBA player Donald Foyle, and former Syracuse University football player and founder of Black Oranges, Brian Tarrant. We discussed the various ways each of us are using our platforms to fight voter suppression and increase voter turnout in this upcoming election. This was a great discussion. Hope you enjoy.
We are here on The Rematch voting edition. Thank you all for coming. I really appreciate it. We got a great panel. We have the GM of the Washington Wizards, Tommy Shepard. We have Nolan Smith, assistant coach with Duke. We have Roger Mason Jr., my former teammate. So I'm really looking forward to this discussion. And one of the things that we want to discuss, we want to really discuss voting and what everybody is doing for voting. You know, this is a really important election. And so I have to say, for, you know, the purposes of basketballnews.com, we're going to keep it without, you know, saying particular a candidate. We're not going to necessarily endorse a candidate. That's what they want me to say for basketballnews.com. So I'm just following directions. But we can talk about the issues and the importance of this time with voting. And I really wanted to start with Tommy Shepard, because I see that the Wizards are doing something pretty monumental, something that they've never done before as far as voting efforts and making sure that everybody has a place to cast their vote. So, Mr. Shepard, how are you doing, sir?
Well, we're one team out of so many, you know, Tom. There's over almost 85, 88 places across the country that sports venues are being used. There's 20 in the NBA. And we're going to use Cap One as a super center for voting. That's something that, you know, I give the NBA so much credit, the Players Association, everybody came together, particularly after the unfortunate, you know, there were so many different incidents. But when we were in the bubble down in Orlando, this was something that came as a result of when they actually were, we canceled 2 days of games over the Jacob Blake situation, as we should have. And they met with the ownerships. And I think at everything that they laid out, what we need to do better, what we can do more of, this is a result of that. It's, hey, let's all use our arenas. You know, arenas are very easy to get to. They're in and out. There's great transportation hubs around it. It makes all perfect sense to use those as super centers to vote. I think the NBA has been a leader throughout this entire time and really pushing for the vote. We are part of you know, so many people that are connected to this. And I don't want the Wizards to get credit compared to everybody else as uniters, but I think it's a huge thing for DC to have that. And I think Cap One, it's going to be a fantastic sight to see on election day.
I think that's great, you know. And, you know, Nolan Smith, I want to talk about what you're doing in Duke. And, you know, we saw Coach K give a, you know, passionate address after George Floyd's murder. And we just saw that the changing in the climate on the college atmosphere as a whole. So tell me about what Duke is doing as well.
Yeah. we got very active. That's the main thing. We started having all these conversations with the Brotherhood. All of our former players got together. The main thing we said to coach in our program was like, we have to be about action. We can't just be putting out statements and videos and, you know, stuff like that. Like, that's one thing I wasn't gonna go for, was just some phony statement and then sitting behind a desk. One thing we wanted to do was apply pressure. And we knew that with our fan base and around the country, we could really do something special during this time. And voting was obviously first and foremost the biggest thing that we could do as Americans. And as athletes, we knew we could really, you know, hit our fans and make sure everybody got registered, got out and voted. And we partnered with WhenWeAllVote.org, got involved with them. And really that charge was led by Todd Singleton, former Duke player, Reggie Love, who obviously worked for Mr. President Obama, and then Nate James. They were leading that group. And we put out we ended up starting a website, put out a video about voting, which asked a whole bunch of questions. But the main thing was love versus hate. Like you said, we're not trying to steer anybody on who to vote for, but we asking the questions. Wow. Love versus hate. It was a bunch of questions, but that was the main one. And we put that out, and it was a great response from our fan base, and just really trying to encourage everybody. And as far as our players, all of them have already voted, you know, just making sure our players know that, you know, as they get older, to make sure they continue to vote. You know, it's their greatest tool and greatest power that they have is the vote.
I think it's fantastic. And, you know, my man Brian Tarrant, you know, he started a group on Syracuse that I'm proud to be a part of called Black Oranges. And it's a collection of different Syracuse alumni athletes, black and brown, and we're kind of use our collective power to really, you know, make a difference on campus and throughout the entire country. And Brian, talk about all the efforts that we're going to make here on Syracuse campus in particular, and then also abroad, really urging people to go out and vote.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Because you know us old guys with all the technology. So
you ain't that old. Stop that.
I appreciate you guys, you having me. I feel like a fish out of water with all these basketball guys around me. But, yeah, Black Oranges, we started that back in late June, early July. We kicked off July 4th. And the purpose of Black Oranges was really just a answer to the call. I mean, everybody started asking. I mean, I'm sure as all you guys know, after the George Floyd thing, everybody started asking, you know, what they could do and how they could help. So we created Black Oranges as an answer to that. And since then, it's grown. You know, since we started, there's a few of us that are a part of a task force for the athletic department. And that is basically helping with the climate of the student experience. So, you know, we're talking about bringing people back and doing, you know, doing mentorships, doing speaker series that, you know, the show kids different careers that are out there. And one of the things that, you know, with the help of Eton, we were able to strike up a conversation, have a town hall with the students that had to deal with a lot of, you know, racial aggression last year and a little bit of disappointment with the school not being transparent and helping. And then somehow it turned into, you know, the security versus the students. So we're trying to be mediators in this whole thing. And I think we've done a great job with it. We have a town hall coming up where we actually have an opportunity to talk to the chief of the Department of Security. And he's going to lay out his plan of how he's going to repair the relationships with the black and brown students there. But that's kind of what we've been doing in a nutshell for now.
You know, I think it's great the way athletes are, you know, I mean, and y'all know me for a while, but this has always been my thing. You know what I mean? It's always been my passion, and it's just really great seeing this growth and this boom of athlete activism and athletes using their voices all across the country. So I think, you know, it's a wonderful time. And Mace, you know, the Player Association has really done a lot. And I think it's really interesting because before there was some misreporting going on as far as, you know, NBA players being registered to vote and things of that nature. And, you know, we got it all straight. And I saw your post the other day of the MBPA, you know, proudly boasting how many players that they got to vote even in the bubble. Yeah. So just talk about that effort and how, you know, what everybody has done to really get that word out and get the players involved.
Yeah, no, I mean, first of all, you're right. Thanks for having me on here. I remember back when I was young in the league, you were a leader in these topics, in these conversations early on, before it was even, you know, quote unquote, popular to talk about the importance of voting. So kudos to you for that. But I think, you know, I think Michelle Roberts and Sheree Deans and the executive committee, they've really been leaders and pioneers in helping the players understand and get the word out on how important it is. I mean, obviously, we were all quarantined and saw up close just what was really going on in our country. And, you know, the one way that we can combat that is at the polls. And it's not necessarily just every 4 years when it's time to vote for a president, but it's at the local level. And so super proud of my NBA brotherhood and the guys. 95% of the league has voted, which I just think is terrific. And that number, I couldn't be more proud, you know, to be a former player and to see that. But, you know, this younger generation, you know, they realize the power of their platform, the power of their brand. They're not afraid to use it. They're not afraid of how it impacts, you know, them and their brands or them making money, or they understand the greater good. And I think, you know, it's an encouraging sign for the young athlete. As far as the video you're talking about, it was great. We had Chris Paul, Wesley Matthews, Thaddeus Young, all speaking about the importance of voting. Even had my football brother, Justin Tuck, on there, as well as Danny Green and Quinn Cook, who had just won a championship, but actually took the time in the bubble to do a video for my company, Vaunt. And we, of course, did that with Black Men Vote, which is also, you know, bipartisan, but really just encouraging everyone to vote.
I mean, I think that's great. And, you know, what, Donald, I mean, you're somebody who has been really pushing for young people to really get involved in the political process and teaching young people. And I think it's great. Do you still do the organization that you had, Democracy Matters, that you started a long time ago? You know, we go way back to college. You know what I mean? So I've known the stuff that you've been doing for a long time. But talk about the importance of getting young people in the process and teaching young people about voting.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of a hypocrisy in this country that we really want young people to be involved, but we don't want to give them a seat at the table to bring their issues to the table. So Democracy Matters initially was this idea that it's not so much about blue and red, it's really about access. If you think about an issue you care about, really having access to the political system is the only way that that issue could be addressed on a large scale. Do a lot of charity work in this country, which is important. But when you talk about systemic change, you need to move the government. And the only way you could do that is to have access to the system. And right now, the thing we're not talking about in this election is that this election is going to cost over $4 billion, right? We're spending so much money in what is a public good. Election is a public good. And we're treating it like a business where like everybody invests and we spend all this money to influence the people rather than giving people access that look like us, that have shared experience, that are in there making decisions. You know, I tell kids all the time, if you're not at the table where important decisions are being discussed, then you're on the menu, right? And right. I mean, really simple way of saying, cutting through all of this stuff, we need to talk about money in politics, and I know that's going to be an issue we talk about a lot, but we have to talk about access, and access now is tied to money. So we have to look at this system as a whole and really make changes. We have to pass campaign finance reform laws. Who is in the court matter? I mean, the Citizen 10 United decision that I love, unlimited amount of money in our political system, is the reason that we're here, and we have 501c4 that we don't even know who is giving money to a particular candidate, right? So we have no way of making informed decision because we don't know who is behind each candidate. So I think we need to have a lot of disclosure, and the first step in order to have access is to vote. So Democracy Matters, we're in about 30, 35 campuses across the United States, and we're registering people to vote, and we're making sure that especially kids that are off campus have an opportunity to go to the polls and find ways of going to the polls.
I think that's great. I mean, I honestly think that's fantastic. And going back to you, Nolan, you know, on the college campus, you know, what is the energy like, you know, when you're talking about, like when you talk to your guys about voting and the importance of voting, what are some of the feedback and the things that you hear from the players?
Really the main thing is education. You know, there's they're so new to this, so they want to be educated on who to vote for, who's here at the local level, either here in North Carolina and Durham or in their state. So I think that's a big thing for me going forward with our players, is to continue to educate them. I think y'all said it, young athletes nowadays, they know their platform is heavy. They know that their brand is heavy. They know that they have an impact on their communities. So I think they definitely want to be involved in many ways. You know, all of our players have been vocal from day one. Some of our players have even led protests during this time, which we've been pushing them to do. You know, if you feel strongly about something, you do it. You know, we're backing you as a program. And they've been going for it. But with this, they've been wanting to get out there on the front lines and get to the polls. You know, obviously every campus has strict COVID protocols right now, so they can't do as much. But a lot of them have already said, like, look, going forward next year, like, we should do something, you know, on campus. We should do something in the community of Durham. So they're active, and they just want to continue to be educated to do more.
Brian, do you find that the younger generation are a lot more politically astute and politically savvy, politically aware of the athletes on campus than kind of they were when you were playing at Syracuse? I mean, because it seems to me that, I don't know if it's a reflection of the times or maybe social media, but it seems to me that young people have so much more access to information now that they should be more informed in theory. But do you see that to be true, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I think the younger kids, well, I think it's a tale of two cities, you know. On college campuses, I think the kids are definitely more aware. You know, you've seen it with some of the groups that we worked with the SAC, the Student Athletic Council at Syracuse. Those kids are amazing. I mean, they've grown up around this their whole lives. They were teaching some of us things.
Right.
But then also, I also know the other side of the half is, like, I have some relatives, some nephews, and some second cousins that, you know, they're not college kids, and they have a whole different philosophy of that the system's against them. And you know, myself, my brothers, all the young people, we're trying to school these young guys that this is important, but they're very complicit in the fact that they just don't think that this is something that they should be doing, and it's a waste of their time. So yes, some young people are definitely more aware and more focused and willing to use their voice, which is amazing. But then you have the kids that are on the other side of the tracks that I'm seeing. Again, I won't speak for all of those kids, but I got enough of them around the country where I'm seeing that they just don't feel like there's any place for them in this country, and this stuff doesn't matter, which is sad.
Interesting, because I've heard that a lot, you know, with the younger generation, as far as being frustrated with the process. And I mean, you could understand why, because there's a lot going on. And so I've had to, you know, my daughter Imani has had to watch the debates for her class, and she's supposed to study the way to argue your point to counterpoint. And she's looking at me like, is this the way that it's supposed to go? And I'm like, no, this isn't the way it's supposed to happen. But this was on display for young people. And I understand why a lot of young people are kind of, you know, discouraged from voting. But Adonna, what do you tell a young person who has that thought and has that feeling that they're discouraged by what they're seeing on display?
Well, I think the first thing is that we have to let them know that, you know, the way that you make change is that you have to get involved, right? And and I think we have to really, I think Roger referred to this earlier, really getting at the state level. Like, I mean, I think in California, we experimented with letting 16-year-olds vote for the Board of Elections and stuff, for the Board of Education and different stuff like that. So there's ways to introduce kids into the system where you're teaching them, like, think of an issue that you care about. Think of any issue and figure out as a society how you get to solve it, right? And try to do it without the government involved, right? So we have this thing where we try to say government is not important, but I'm like, people convince you that government is not important because those are the people that have all the power. So why would anybody want you to be part of that power structure? Mm-hmm. The only way you get change in this country, you have to be part of the system. It's the reason that our loved ones got beaten for years and years for going to the polls, right? So we have to do a better job as well as telling the story of John Lewis and what that means in today's culture. We have to be more connected to the struggles of our past. And we have to look at what we're being taught in in high school across this country. There's not a uniform way of teaching our kids our history. We give them a month, we give them a few days, and that is it. So we have to find a way to really complete this picture with knowledge, right? So when we see John Lewis, everyone should be voting this year. When you look at the legacy of a man who was beaten and yet end up in the very power structure that he fought for years and years, making decisions that helps every American. So I think we have to understand our power. We have to show them how it's connected. So figure out an issue that they care about and connect it back. I think Barack talked about this yesterday, really connecting them to the issues they care about and show them that it all involves politics, right? That's how you get change that is more universal.
I think that's great. I definitely agree. You know, Mace, I want to read this tweet that I saw, and I retweeted it from Tobias Harris. I thought it was great. He said, "I'm a bit confused." He said, "So because we play in the NBA and have a salary, we can't talk politics?" He said, "But how do you earn your salary as a doctor, janitor, lawyer, teacher, plumber, store manager, cashier, entrepreneur, server, etc., and that automatically makes you more qualified to discuss politics?" And I thought this was such a great tweet, and I'm glad that the young fella tweeted it out, because you know that you know, athletes always hear this stay in your lane thing, this you know shut up and dribble, this, you know, stay in your place, do what you do, don't really venture into politics. And I love the way that the NBPA has really taken a completely different mindset and role and how they are educating, you know, the players and telling them, you know, kind of pushing back on that entire notion. Would you agree with that? Or is that what a concerted effort by the NBPA to do?
No, I 100% agree with that. And Tobias Harris is a leader and somebody that's, you know, wise beyond his years. I think, you know, even if you look at the top guy in the league, you know, who everybody kind of follows, and that's LeBron James with the whole shut up and dribble. You know, so many times and for so many years, they looked at us as just entertainment. And while we do that and we're fortunate to have the jobs that we have, we're human and we're American citizens just like anyone else, you know, with our own opinion, having to live in the same laws that everyone else does. So at the end of the day, you know, like I said, these guys understand their platform. They understand that they have a voice, that they have influence. And so they're not going to shut up and dribble. They're not going to just stay in their lane. They're going to voice their opinion. There's so many young people that look up to our guys, so many young people that, you know, follow them on Instagram, on Twitter, and on all these things. And so seeing, you know, a Tobias Harris speak out against issues and talk about the importance of voting, the NBPA has done a terrific job of supporting the players. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that is kind of their goal. Voting was a mandate given to them by the executive committee and their player reps. Uh-huh. And they're doing a great job of supporting the players every step of the way.
You know, it's interesting. And I know Tommy Shepard's having some technical difficulties
over
there.
I think I'm back, Catan. I'm not sure, but I think I'm back. I'm out of the grave here, I think.
Okay, cool. We can't see you, but we can hear you. So that'll work if we can hear you. So that works. But I just want to talk about the, you know, because the Wizards, you know, I was with the Wizards at a time where, you know, it really wasn't as popular for players to be speaking out, you know, politically. And the Wizards were always very supportive of me, even if I was speaking out on a topic that was, say, not the topic that conventional, you know, mainstream America is going along with. Talk about that as an organization, of how you've always been supportive of players, and I'm a testament of it, of players really using their voices and using their platforms as a whole.
Well, John, I praise everything that you did as a player and what you've done since, and I think we have to have a much bigger role. And we're in the nation's capital. You know, we're one of 30 franchises, but as the team that's in the nation's capital, I think we have to take our responsibility that much more serious. I cannot say enough about Bradley Beal's leadership, Natasha Cloud's leadership, as we all kind of try to figure things out right away. You know, first you had COVID, and then you just had an absolute cascading of events that absolutely forced everybody to rethink what exactly do we stand for, and what do we really mean when we say, hey, we're allies, or we're not going to tolerate this anymore. Words are old. It's all about action. And I really am so proud of Bradley and what he was doing. But I'm very grateful to the NBA, to the Players Association, to Ted Leonsis for allowing us to empower everybody to go do what must be done. And Mace, you touched on it. We were in the bubble for 40 days. We had Jonathan Williams, one of our players, registered to vote for the first time. All of our players are informed. We took it to a different level where everybody that's voting in their hometowns, working with Malcolm Jenkins and his group, they really helped inform everybody. We have a cheat sheet, basically, of all the elections that are going on in every player's hometown, and everybody is educated on the issues. So when you're voting for the candidates, you're very informed. And players took that and they run. I think NBA players are leaders in everything that they've done socially and will continue to be. And especially in D.C., we're always going to embrace it. And I'm so proud of you guys, everybody on this call that I've been fortunate to know. I'm looking at you now when I know you as players, and now I see you as grown men and being advocates out in society. I think you all probably took a little piece of that when you live in the nation's capital. It's our responsibility.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I want you to touch on, you know, earlier this year, I think right after George Floyd was killed, Bradley Beal and John Wall kind of led with a couple of WNBA players and everybody a march in D.C. And I thought it was great what they were doing, and just the image of them marching. And, you know, Bradley Beal gave a passionate speech. He talked about, you know, and that connection with the community. Talk about how important that is for them to have done what they did.
Well, especially on Juneteenth. And that was the first time we'd all gathered since March 12th, when we were last playing and we were last together. So that was the very first time the team gathered back together. And Bradley led the march, and with his words that day were so eloquent. But that was everybody in our organization standing behind him. And I think we continue to be that moving forward. We have so much more work to do, as you know, Atan, but it all does start with what can we control? We can control getting up and going voting. That's our social responsibility. It's a sacred time. And I think we should all think about bringing our kids with us so they see it, how important it is, because it's generational. You know, if it's important in your house and you talk about it every day, as I know you do, I think that grows roots, and those roots go generational. And that's what's so important. So many players that I spoke with, they said, well, we never voted. I didn't know about it. I didn't have people showing me the way. And so now I think you touched on it. Social media has been a tremendous platform to raise awareness. And that's something that I think we can continue to weaponize in getting people out to vote, to make sure the education is right there at their fingertips. And once that's happened, I think it's taken off. I think it's been tremendous. And I can't give Michelle Roberts enough credit for their time in the bubble, their time with the players. And I would put Adam Silver with that, and all the NBA ownership groups that put their arenas out there to do this. I think that's just going to be for the future. We cannot let it go back a ton. I think everybody should have, you know, obviously the election day should be a holiday so everybody can go vote. And these super centers, they got to continue to exist. COVID, if one good thing came out of this, none of these arenas are filled right now, so we could do this. If this was normal times, we still got to be able to do this. We got to block the arena on that day around the country.
I definitely agree. Very well said. And, you know, and he touched on Commissioner Adam Silver, and I think that his embrace of players speaking out and using their voices and using their platform has been really tremendous. I got to be honest, it really has. Mason, you know, from what you've seen, it hasn't been a constant struggle, you know, like it could be. I mean, I don't, you want to talk about, you know, previous NBA commissioners or other, you know, NFL leagues or anything like that, but I could just focus on him. You know, he has really embraced the athlete voice. How important do you think that is, and how vital do you think that is to what we're seeing today as far as athletes having that safe space, so to speak, to be able to stand on their platforms and use their voices?
I think the NBA overall, with Adam Silver at the helm, it's just they've been leaders in our culture, in the world, really. And so I think, you know, you got to tip your hat off to Adam. You got to tip your hat off to many of the team owners, the general managers, you know, guys like Tommy Shepard, you know, Tim Connolly. I can go on and on and on, that understand, you know, Popovich and RC, that understand there's more than just what goes on the court. And Adam Silver realizes that the players have many issues and many aspects of their life that matter to them outside of basketball, and they have an opportunity to be leaders. And, you know, from the first time he got in as commissioner, you know, when there was an issue with the LA Clippers former team owner, he stepped up right away, you know, no hesitation. And I think everyone in the NBA followed suit with that. And so when any of these things are happening, you know, the proof has been in the pudding as far as how Adam Silver has responded, how the NBA family has responded, from, you know, team presidents to GMs to the players. And it's something that we can really be proud of as former players, knowing that our league is really the leader as far as all professional sports leagues from top down, with these issues and being leaders in our community overall.
I definitely agree. And Nolan, talk about the same thing with Coach K. I mean, because it you know, especially for college players, it you know, when the head coach embraces and supports the players using their voices, it makes them even more comfortable to be able to continue their voice. The same thing with Adam Silver. It creates a safe space for them. Talk about Coach K's influence in that department.
Yeah, nah, he was great with it, you know, from day one. You know, he first thing he started doing was just listen. You know, when he sat down with myself, Chris Carwell, Nate James, he wanted to hear how we were feeling. You know, we told him right away, like, look, coach, we're hurting. You know, you keep seeing these killings. You keep seeing them over and over again on TV. We're hurting. And we said, our players are hurting. The brotherhood is hurting. We're all fun. So he just really, he listened. A guy like him, he don't listen often. Mm-hmm. You know, he's used to talking and people listening to him. But he finally just listened to us. And from that, man, he just, you know, he said, look, let's do something about it. You know, and for me right here on this campus to be able to throw a protest, I don't know if I already told you this story, Tom, but when I did the protest here, when I came in that morning, I wasn't going to tell nobody. I'm not asking for permission to do a protest on this campus. I'm doing it. And he came in and he had heard about it. Obviously, I did it right in Kayville. And he was like, hey, somebody's throwing a protest in Kayville. Do y'all know who's throwing it? And I said, me. And he was like, oh, well, what can I do to help? That's kind of how he's been with everything, you know, trying to be vocal, trying to be seen. We told him at the end of the day, we need strong white allies to be the people speaking up, you know, not just us out there mad and yelling and whatever. Right. You know, people have often brushed that under the rug for years. Uh-huh. You know, it's time for the Coach K's, the Adam Silvers and people of that nature to speak up. And we told him that, and he's been on board. You know, he's been very vocal. And to this day, I mean, we haven't stopped. We've had him involved with a lot of the, you know, changes that happened on campus, talking with President Price, and, you know, he's been involved. I mean, he's about to retire. And one thing he said, he's like, this is something I should stay involved with, you know, in my early retirement. And we're like, yeah. So he's active and fired up to continue to, you know, change the look. And, you know, one thing I'll give y'all, he has said he wants the first coach when he retires to be a black guy.
Oh, wow. Right, that's big.
That's big, and that's change.
Right. And Donald, you know, on that same wavelength, you know, talk about how important it is for NBA coaches to continue using their voices. I mean, we're getting a handful more. Right. We're getting, you know, Stan Van Gundy has been very. I don't know if y'all follow him on Twitter, but he be on fire sometimes. You know what I mean? And Steve Kerr, and you have, you know, of course, Popovich. But how important do you think it is for coaches, especially white coaches, to continue to use their voice, to use their platform, to be able to speak out as well on voting, on police brutality, on activism, on the whole nine?
No, I think it's very important. And I think you can see, you know, Steve Kerr here with the Warriors and what Pop has done throughout the course of the year. It's a different voice. I think the whole concept of ally is a really important concept, because there's really a lot of people of goodwill. And I think more than anything else, there's just really so much laws can do, right? I mean, we talked earlier about laws. Laws can only do so much. It can't really do anything about a person's heart. So part of our job is to really sell, in a way, you know, our allies. They're doing some of the work for us that we've been doing most of our life. And I think that there is tremendous value in that, because maybe to a person who wouldn't listen to me, they might listen to Coach K, they might listen to Steve Kerr, they might listen to Greg Popper, you know. So there is like, they might listen to Popovich, they might listen to, you know, to so many different people, and they might listen to athletes. So we have to find allies wherever we can find them and really give them access and power, you know, just to kind of be with us, to walk with us, to talk with us, to be an amplifier for our voices and to really carry our story. We always talk about teachers and the role of teachers. Well, a teacher come in and they empower us to be better basketball player, but are they looking out for our mental health? Are they looking out for us beyond what we could provide in the basketball court? And I would think, and I would say that it is the moral responsibility of a coach that is sits at the head of a lot of Black players, that they at least be able to reflect the concerns of those players. And I think an organization who's not cognizant of that is an organization is not recognizing the important role that, that those voices are in this ongoing conversation.
Definitely agree. Now, Brian, let me, we're going to wrap it up. We'll end on Syracuse. You know, I got those Syracuse fights, but just talking about the importance of what we're doing on Syracuse campus and the importance of Syracuse alumni and the athletic voice as well on campus, because a lot of times athletes don't understand, especially college, the power of their voice until they're away from college, till they've graduated, till they're no longer there. And talk about the importance of everything that we're doing with Black Oranges and how we're going to try to affect change on Syracuse's campus in many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that we've done is that one thing that we've noticed by starting this. The collection, the pool of talent, resources, and even just influence and money, it's pretty powerful. So, you know, once we figured out that we had this and we all started coming together, it was pretty interesting watching how quickly the school allowed us to come in and have a seat at the table and talk with them. So, you know, one of the things that we want to be able to do is really be able to show the kids, hey, listen, there, you know, yes, you play basketball, football, track, field, whatever. But at the end of the day, when you leave this place, you know, you want to leave in a place where you're able to take care of yourself and be successful. And you have a voice and you have power. So, you know, by them seeing, you know, people that look like them, that talk like them, now they don't just have to rely on their sport anymore. Now they can see, they can go out into the world and really be able to make an impact. And you know, one of the things that we're also doing is, you know, we're pulling in non-athletes as well, because, you know, every Division I campus has the same problem. You know, it's you know, the Black and brown athletes, they're kind of here and everybody else is kind of here and we kind of forget about them. And, you know, one of the things that we've did with this, with these town halls, you know, of really bridging the gap between, you know, the campus security and the Black and brown students is, you know, we're showing them, hey, we're there for them now, because even with some of the student athletes that are there, you know, they didn't have the issues that Not Again SU, which was a group that was formed after there was a lot of racial incidences on the campus. So, you know, bringing them into the fold and letting them know, hey, listen, you know, the football players, the basketball players, hell, field hockey players, because with us, we've been working with a lot of the student athlete groups, and they're all down now. They all know they have a voice, and the coaches have lessened up and allowed them to express themselves. So all we want to do is just be a resource for them and be a sounding board for them. And when we need to put our resources in place to make things better, we'll do that. And the biggest thing that I kind of put in the chat room, but you know, I'm looking at these four brothers, these four other brothers on the call, and a great ally and Mr. Shepherd over there. You know, what are we going to do? What's that next step where we do what the Black Oranges are doing, where we actually pull all of our resources, all of our money together, so that way we can have a seat at the table? Because that's the thing that makes change in here. I mean, that's why they formed those super PACs. I think it's a Donald. Sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, but that's why those guys have so much influence. That's how they can, you know, suppress our votes, do the things that they do that keeps us in our place. But if you look at the Black and brown excellence we have in this country, it's pretty astonishing. I mean, we have multiple billionaires now. And look at the NBA, you know, what are we doing to to get our best together so that way we can speak, you know, maybe not in one voice, but two voices. But let's get something together. I think that's going to be the next progression if we ever want to get away from just, you know, having rallies and protests and boycotting. It's going to take more than that to really get real change. And like I said, we're only seeing on a micro level, but just us pulling together just from black and brown Syracuse athletes, it's amazing how quickly the AD was on the phone with us, yeah. You know, and he reached out to us. I didn't reach out to him.
Right.
You know, the fact that I got the AD's cell number and you know, again, I don't have any records at Syracuse, but yet they got my number.
Right.
They got my number.
Right. I mean, just the fact that we're sitting down with the chief of DPS, you know, I mean, that I think that's big. And, you know, and they came up to us. So, and that's because of the collective power that we have as athletes. We just have to realize that power. You know, y'all know I could talk about this all day, but I'm not going to hold y'all too long. But I really appreciate y'all, you know, coming on. I appreciate Tommy Shepherd taking time, you know, even though his camera wasn't working that great. But I appreciate him taking the time. And really, honestly, everything that y'all are doing is an example for younger athletes because they watch us. They watch us more than we even know. You know what I mean? So keep doing what you're doing. Much respect to you. We're going to keep pushing people to go out to the polls to make sure that they exercise their right to vote and to learn about the political process and learn about local elections and locally how they can affect change. So, again, thank you guys for coming on the show today. Y'all be safe in everything that y'all are doing, and y'all have a good night. Appreciate y'all.
It's great to see you guys, man.
Thank you for listening to The Rematch. You can find more episodes on basketballnews.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review. You can also find my articles on basketballnews.com, along with exclusive content from Kenyon Martin, Vinny Del Negro, James Posey, and more. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at AtonThomas36. Let me know what you thought of this episode and who you'd like to see as a guest. I would love your feedback.